is your marriage / cohabitation in order, i.e. is it protected? Peter, very good morning. Welcome on this Monday morning, this nice overcast, rainy Monday.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning to our listeners out there. We need the rain, so we're not going to moan. A lovely topic this morning is your marriage cohabitation in order. You know, it's a matter of either marriage or living together. It is never, ever bulletproof. There's no doubt about that. In this day and age, your relationship is not bulletproof. But make sure that you get the bulletproof vest and put everything into writing to make sure that the vest is in place to protect you. You know, that's my words of advice this morning. So are you protected, be it your marriage? Is your contract fair? Are you married in community of property? Let's discuss that basically, first of all. So the whole point here is that before you get married, it is necessary for you to enter into a marriage contract or an antenuptial contract, as it's called. That will set out exactly what is going to happen with your marriage, who brings what into the marriage, or alternatively, that you both bring nothing in, even though you may have assets, and sorts out on a fair basis the contract to be able to award in the event of a divorce to each of the partners in the marriage. If you do not do a contract before you get married, if you do not see an attorney beforehand and enter into a contract, you are then going to become married in the community of property. That means everything jointly and severally by the two of you in equal shares, no matter what. And it is, in fact, probably dangerous in the sense that if a business goes bang, the whole family goes bang with it because you married in community of property, whereas you can avoid that by having an antenuptial contract, which would separate the business from the home and things like that. But it's still necessary. It's not, neither is that antenuptial contract bulletproof, because in the event of Mr. owning everything, you can't then say, oh, no, I've given it to my wife or something like that. It must be recorded. So it's all about what is in writing. So to put things in writing is so important. And the different types of marriages we have dealt with before, there's, you know, in community of property, 50-50, everybody. Out of community of property, there's with accrual, without accrual. It sets out what is brought into the marriage and the like. So make sure that if it's a marriage you're talking about, that your love and the law is covered, as they say, in a proper contract. Love is one thing and the law is another thing. They are very good to indulge in when you newly going out or newly married and things like that. But man, let a problem arise and it's a war. It's an absolute war, no matter what. You know, I would say that 1 in 1,000 marriages end up where somebody walks away and says, you take that, I take that, we're happy and we move on. It does happen. It's not impossible, but it's not the norm, okay? Because normally it's not only the what comes out of the marriage is not only the assets. There's children. There's maintenance. There's policies. There's all sorts of things, businesses. There are vehicles, the assets, and that type of thing, you know, movable and immovable, all of which have got to be sorted. So make sure you have something in writing. Make sure you know where you are. And also don't spend thousands of rands trying to decide who's taking what and fight over stuff. Rather, if you can't come to an agreement immediately, get what they call a receiver involved. Come to an agreement that you're going to appoint a third independent party, can be an attorney, can be an accountant, can be anybody, and they will then take into account the estate that you have and make a suggestion regarding a division. So get your house in order. If you are married, you know, don't say, oh, we're not even thinking of divorce. We'll never get divorced. That's not the attitude you need to have. You need to say, it's a dreaded D, divorce. Mm-hmm. One of the dreaded Ds is divorce. So make sure that you don't regret it at a later stage. That goes back to cohabiting with someone. That's even a worse situation, because invariably with cohabitation, you know, you are sharing expenses, you're buying goods in a house together, you're probably don't even think about who pays the water and lights, who pays the rates and things like that. You also probably have bought a house jointly in both names. You're 50-50 owners, and you don't understand that if something goes wrong, there can be problems that will cause major costs and arguments and court cases where one partner is not prepared to concede and maybe one wants more than the other. You get a situation where Mrs. is cheated and Mr. says, well, you must now lose everything. That's not what happens. That's not the law. It's not a case of because you cheated, you lose everything. That doesn't happen. You know, everything is all about love and doing things blindly, as they say, you know, which is wrong. Unfortunately, in today's day and age, most people live together. You know, you meet someone and you shack up together, as they call it. I love that word, shack up together. And then it gets worse where you shack up and maybe you rent a house in the beginning, and then you've been together for 5, 6, 7 years. You're happy. You don't want to get married. You have no intention of getting married. Maybe you want or don't want children, you know. So you live together and everything's good. And then one day, boom, that bullet hits you. Something's gone wrong. He's cheated. He's cheated. Or he's transferred from East London to Joburg. I'm not going with. I'm staying behind, you know. So make sure there that you have what is known as a cohabitation agreement. You can put it in writing, the legal document that is made between the two of you can sort out everything, just like an anti-nuptial contract. It can set out what happens. The house, when it's bought together, whose name, you know, does it go in joint name, or does the other party have a bond on it to protect their share that they've put in? Different ways of doing it. But at the end of the day, if something should go wrong, you at least know how you're going to get out of that situation and who's taking what. You know, so like I said in the beginning, get the vest. It's not bulletproof without something in writing and recorded. So, you know, you can certainly put yourself in a very awkward position if you're cohabiting and something goes wrong. They're not legal principles in place that will decide for you. You know, you can expose yourself to unnecessary cost, to unnecessary anger, to a dispute, to litigation, by not having something in writing. And don't say, oh, but if I mention to my partner that I want to get a contract in place, he's going to say to me, don't you trust me? Rather move on. If that's the attitude, then you've got a warning sign. You know, if you entering into something in good faith, you're going to say, yes, of course, let's protect ourselves. That's my certainty way of thinking about it. My certainty in that regard is that you shouldn't have a problem in entering into an agreement between the two of you. You know, a lot of situations arise, and today a big thing is that people buy homes together. And then you have your fallout. And next comes the house. Who's keeping the house? Why is so-and-so keeping the house? Is that person going to pay me out? What price are they going to pay out? We put the house on the market. We don't sell it. What happens? We take it to an auction. We sell it at a lesser price. You know, there are various ways there. I mean, the court can come to assistance and say to you, okay, let's put it onto the market again for a period of 60 days, see what's happened. If after 60 days nothing's happened, they can then say, okay, then let's, you know, go back and put it on an auction and see what amount. We can put a reserve on that. You don't have to accept it, but you might not get your price there. So during this period, somebody's living in the house in that period. Is that person paying for it? Do you have an agreement that says Joseph must pay X amount per month or whichever party is staying in the house? Those are all common things there. You know, there is a old Latin law that we studied. Co-ownership is the mother of dispute. an old Roman law concept, that thing. You know, and it confirms that joint ownership has always, since ancient times, inherently provided a ground for instability and dispute. So it doesn't have to be between a couple. It can be between two partnerships as well, the ownership. So this message is not only for people cohabitating, but basically any people cohabitating.
Yeah.
The only person, if you and I enter into a purchase of a joint house, let's make sure that we have a proper agreement in place as to what happens should we have a fallout, which happens. You know, some people say, we'll never have a fallout. Mm. We've been in business for 15, 20 years, you know, and it happens just when you don't expect it. It comes and bites you and takes things away from you. Mm. So my advice in the end of it, in both, make sure you have a marriage contract. Mm-hmm. If you're cohabiting, make sure you have a contract. Make sure that you put as much detail as possibly is available into your agreement, including a detailed process as to how to end your co-ownership. Litigation is expensive. Mm. It delays things. So put it into writing and sort it out. I mean, at the moment, I have two or three couples, one or two of them that are about to get married, that are buying land together, going into one name only. And my advice to all of them at the moment is, you know, make sure that you have a bond securing the amount that you're putting in. Mm. If you're buying for R6 and you're putting R3 in, make sure there's a bond in your favor for that R3 so that the house cannot be sold. If something happens, it's in one of the names, but the other party has to be paid out.
Yes.
You can also call up your bond if necessary. So that's absolute protection. Mm. And what a lot of people don't understand as well is that with immovable property, you can't just do an acknowledgement of debt and say, Joseph owes me X amount, because that doesn't give you absolute protection. Mm-hmm. It must be done by way of bond or a second bond if the person's got a main bond to purchase. So, you know, immovable property has its own rules as well. It's not a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you are properly covered, that your agreement is correct. Make sure that you don't just do an agreement between yourself. You need to see an attorney. You need to spend a little bit of money on a consultation to get that agreement in writing and proper.
Mm.
You know, some people say, but we might never, ever use it. Well, good luck if you don't ever use it. But if you do need to use it, you're going to be grateful.
And you've got
that, that you have done this, that. As I say, love is a funny thing. With cohabitation and with marriages, never guaranteed. There's never, ever been a guarantee that every marriage and every live together is going to last until eternity. And they'll last until one partner dies or something like that. That is certainly not a guarantee in this day and age.
Yes.
You know, every week the courts are full. Every week there are breakups between couples cohabiting together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the you can just have a look at the introduction of protection orders and harassment orders. You know, most of those are couples that are fighting, that no longer want each other within 100 meters of each other and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be cautious and you need to be careful and you need to put it into writing.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the question that I mentioned right at the beginning. Are you protected? Who takes what? Whether you're living together or you are married and your cohabitation is a result of a marriage.
Right.
That is a weighing on love and the law, I suppose you can call it.
Yes, and, you know, there, once again, just make sure that everything is recorded. You've got some kind of agreements in place. And Peter, I'm guessing that, you know, if there's a lot of complex scenarios, it would be better to see an attorney. How can somebody get in touch with you if maybe they feel they need to get their agreements put down in legalese? How do they get in touch with Alum's attorneys?
When they can find us at number 6 Sansom Road, Alum's attorneys in Berea, the little side street where Pep Stores is. Telephone 043-7211-018. Like I say, feel free to come in and have a chat. It doesn't have to end up with the agreement. If you want to find out what is what on this very important thing, married or cohabitating together, pop in and see us. And they, of course, can also find us on Facebook. Just add a S to Alum's, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. Like us there and you'll find all our details there. Or they can even find us on your WCFM, Wild Coast FM, WhatsApp or on the, if not the WhatsApp, on Facebook as well. Our details are all there.
Great. Well, Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to chatting next week, Monday, once again.
Thank you, Wayne.